little ministry to my own heart tonight and just the singing. And when the first song we sang, On Higher Ground, my own heart cried out again that in the midst of the battle, when the devil would almost sweep us in sometimes, that the Lord can take us on to higher ground. It's always available. And especially the song that Gary just sang, that I must follow Jesus. It's a special joy tonight to see Mrs. Butler here. It's a real encouragement to see the faithfulness of the Lord. My background is different than perhaps the most people. I did not come from a religious background. In fact, in my family, we didn't go to church and made no pretense to. In fact, I remember going by on Sunday mornings during the church on the way to go swimming down at the lake, and we would laugh at them, that people would be so silly and so needy in the weak sense that they would have to believe in God. I felt that God was for, quote, old people who couldn't face life without believing in God, or else people were so weak that they couldn't face it. And of course, everybody was a hypocrite, that old line that the unsaved hear. And so that was my background. And yet, at the age of 15, I had a girlfriend that invited me to a revival meeting. And for the first time, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and that he had died for me. And it was the first time I remembered hearing it. And it was that day that I accepted him as my Savior and Lord. And the transformation that took place in my life. And I remember going home, and this didn't set too well with my family. My dad told me not long after that. He said, it's okay to live in on Sunday, but let's don't take it into the rest of the week. And it was shortly after that that they took me out of the church, saying that I was getting fanatic, taking it seriously, and they were brainwashing me. So for 2 years, I was not allowed to go to church. But God, in his faithfulness, began to be faithful. But during this time, I failed to really get into the study of the Word and to begin to get grounded in the Word, and the devil began to take a hold in my life. And there was to follow some 8 or 9 years of real blinding by the enemy, where it said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the god of this world, meaning Satan, hath blinded the eyes of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And so the devil began to take a hold in my life and blinded me. And it was, I graduated from high school and went on my own and went to University of Florida my freshman year. And it was there that I had the first suicide attempt. And I had a hunger in my heart to go to a Christian school. And the Lord opened a way, and I was able to go to Asbury College here in Kentucky. And I thought that this would really solve my problem. I would be 1,000 miles away from home and, quote, the persecution, and I'd be in a Christian school with Christian friends, and that I would find the real the peace that I longed for, and the real sense of forgiveness from God, that I could forgive myself for my past. But things didn't get easier there. In fact, it got worse, and there were several more suicide attempts, and finally they asked me not to come back until I had a letter from a psychiatrist saying that I was okay. And so I came to Louisville and to see a psychiatrist, and I thought that this would be the answer. I thought, what higher human level can you go to than a psychiatrist? And so I thought that this would help me to find the real purpose and meaning I was looking for. But I realized later what Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the relationship with the psychiatrist terminated. He asked me not to come back. And it was during that period of time that I lost all hope for living. I just gave up, and it's hard to describe the feelings during that time. Many of you knew me then. And I remember each day I would try to think of what new sin I could commit. There was just no hope left. And I hated people. I couldn't stand to be around people. And I remember going to work and getting on an elevator and when everybody's getting ready to get on, it's just so crowded. Many times I just couldn't stand. I'd either have to kill somebody or get off, and I'd get off the elevator and wait till everybody else went on. But it was during this time in Louisville that I became involved in the home Bible study at the Gibson's house. And I remember we started memorizing the scripture, and I started I thought I'd try to memorize it to show up everybody else. But when I started, it was the very first verse in 1 John 1:9, where it said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Holy Spirit began to plant the seed of hope in my heart through the Word. And this was over a period of several months, and it was certainly through the ministry of Carolyn and Jack Bland and their interest in my life at that time, that their care and concern for me. And through the memorizing of the Word and hearing the Word preached, and there was a week of special meetings in March of 67. I remember just before it started, the pastor came to me and he asked me if I would come one night and ask and have them to pray with me. And he told me, he said, I know that you don't think there's any hope, but I know there is. And I laughed at him, and yet my heart broke because I wished there could be hope. And it was during that time that I had read a scripture verse in the Psalms where it said, look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sin. And I remember thinking, if I could pray, if I could have any request of God, it would be that. And it was in March 17th, 1967, at the special meetings that I went forward, and the enemy, the devil, was defeated in my life, and his hold was broken. And I'd always thought that I just resigned myself, that one day I would die by suicide. I just gave up worrying about it. I just knew it would happen, and so I wished it would, and hated every day when it didn't. But after the March 67, about a week later, the Lord gave me a verse in Psalm 118. It says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And so he was faithful. And the Lord got me back to Asbury. The psychiatrist finally wrote the letter and the quote said I was okay, and they still wouldn't let me back, and I couldn't understand it. All the requirements had been made. But I didn't know at the time that God had a plan, that he was going to get me back and not man. And so God opened the door after I'd given my testimony to the dean of men of what the Lord's deliverance, and they called a special meeting. And I got back to Asbury and graduated. And I have found that over the ensuing years, this was in 67, I found God's faithfulness over all those years when I was unfaithful. Yet he knew my heart, that I wanted to know him and to please him and to serve him. And I have learned that God does all things well. He knows the end from the beginning, and he doesn't make any mistakes. And he knows our heart's desire. And he gave me a verse in Psalm 90 as to the promise of those previous 10 years, where the psalmist said, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. And God has made up, more than made up, for those 10 years that he allowed me to go through the trial, that I might be able to identify and be able to help those that would be going through the same thing. And in Philippians, Paul said, I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And in 2 Corinthians, it says that the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And though the battle rages and seems to get worse at times, that God is faithful. And I believe that if I know my own heart, the prayer that God has put upon my heart in the past year or two, has been that I may walk before him in robes of white. And every time I say that, the devil makes a big joke and laughs and tells me that it's not true, but I know that that's my heart's desire, that I would walk before him in all that I do and all that I say, in my appearance and in my looks, and in my attitudes, that he may look upon me and see the whiteness and the purity of his faithfulness and of his cleansing. And I thank him for that tonight.